是要分析是否是他的。
好了，毛的还跟着笑。
好。
Holding on your test omud bays by the two dots about a quarter of the way down the omud. Okay, we said like this. We had a case, in a, we had two cases in a braisa involving two mitzvahs for kotra. One case was that both of them involving shnei shvilin, you have two paths where one of them is tamei, but we don't know which one. So we had one case where a person walked on one of them, then walked on the other, and then went into the bais mikdash. We're there.
Sure that
we know that he walked on both of them. But and then after having walked on both of them, he goes into the bais mikdash. Then we said the Tanakama of the Braisa said he would be chayav achatas in that case, if we're assuming it was the usual yediyah helam yediyah, because one way or the other he was talking. Then we had another case where in between the two times he went and got himself purified from Tumas Mes. So now
the second case,
right. So the second case is he went on the first shvil.
Right.
So now he's Sofik Tomei. He had himself sprinkled with paradrum water, so now he's tar.
Right.
Then he goes in, now he's for sure tar.
Right.
Then he walks on the second path, and then goes into the bais mikdash. So the Tanakama, the Tanakama had said in that case he's also chayev.
Right.
Because again, one way or the other, he was Tomei when he went into the bais mikdash. How could there be? The first time it was a suffix, the second time it was a suffix, but we said that by combining the two spakas together, we have a vadai, because one way or the other, either time, one of the two times, he went in. The first case is he only went in one time. And that one time he was definitely talking.
And even then, we said Rav Shimon ben Yehuda said he's still potter because with
Shimon ben Yehuda we had said that if
you have the case and he walked on the second path, he forgot that he had walked on the first path,
then Rav Shimon ben Yehuda would say that doesn't count. But in the case,
but vaday, but it doesn't count
because he himself didn't know when he walked on the second one, he didn't remember that he had walked on the first one. Therefore, you can't say that he knew for sure that he stopped. Yeah. The second case, though, is we're saying again. He went in twice to the bais mikdash, once after each suffix tumma. But one way or the other, however you look at it, one of the times he went in, he was tumma. So there was
the paths were different.
Because the paths were different, exactly. And one of them is tumma and the other is not. So therefore, the Tanakama had said he's chayev. Rav Shimon had said that in a case like that, he's potter because you don't say mixtus yediyah kechol yediyah. You only have a partial knowledge that he was tumma, and that doesn't count.
Okay. Nothing to do with vaday or suffix.
Well, it has to do with, do we call such a thing yediyah? Do we call it yediyah when he wasn't sure either of those times whether he's tamei? Even though by combining them together, we know that he was tamei on one or the other.
Why don't we say more simply that one kind of holds that when there's suffix yediyah is higher, and the other one...
Well, that's what we're doing. So now, one second. The last thing we discussed in the Gemara is that in the second case of the Braisa, why is the Tanakama saying he's chayev? On the face of it, he didn't know whether the first time he's tamei, he didn't know whether the second time he's tamei. So we had two explanations. One is that Rabbi Yochanan had said that in a case like this, Safek Yediyah is like Yediyah. Because he knows that there was Tumah over here. He knows that there was Tumah, therefore we don't know which particular path had the Tumah, and therefore which particular time he was tamei. But by combining it, no, it's not. The first case is...
Hold on.
The first case, he only went into the bais mikdash once. When he went in that one time, we know at that point he was tamei. We just don't know from which path.
Yeah.
Rav Shimon ben Yehuda will say he's potter in that case because he has to know which path he became tamei from. The Tanakama and Rav Shimon don't agree with that. When it comes to the second case, where we don't know was he tamei the first time he went in or was he tamei the second time he went in, the Tanakama will still say he's chayav, Rav Shimon will say he's potter. So Rav Shimon, we can understand, because even though it's true, because the fact is, he didn't know the first time whether he's tamei, he didn't know the second time whether he's tamei. You can't really call that yediyah, says Rav Shimon. The question is, why did the Tanakama say that yes? So we have two explanations. We said Rav Yochanan had said, because in this case, suffix yediyah is like yediyah, given that we know that there was tumah over here,
and the other one,
we can combine together now. Rish Lakish gives a different reason. Rish Lakish says, I don't accept that argument. I won't hold that the Tanakama holds Safek Yediyah. I will say that our Braisa goes, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that b'chal, you don't need Yediyah b'tchila. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't matter whether you knew to begin with your Tamei or not. As long as you went into the bais mikdash when you were Tamei and later on realized that you did that, Rabbi Shmuel will say, you're chayav a carbon.
And unless you have that, you're not.
So, well, in other words, you need only Helam and Yediyah, just like by Kolatar to Kola. You don't need Yediyah Batchila, Rabbi Shmuel says over here. So therefore, this Braisa goes according to Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't matter whether there was Yediyah Batchila or not. Okay. So now, this is where we're holding, by the two dots on your testament base. Now, we can show that there's a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yochanan and a contradiction between two statements of Rish Lakish. Like this, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, in Chrysos, Ochal Sofet Chelev, Benoida. Let's say you have a case like this. Again, you can have the classic case where a person brings an Oshem Tolui is he had two pieces of fat in front of him. One is Chelev, one is Shuman. He ate one of them and he doesn't know which one. What if he has? So now, let's say, for example, so he ate something which is Sofet Chelev. So therefore, at Benoida, and later on, he found out about it. At that point, he found out that what he had eaten. No, he found out that he had eaten a Sofet.
Okay.
That he had eaten a Sofet. When he finds out, which
field, he didn't know which one.
Sort of, yeah. So, right, if he ever finds out that he actually ate the Chelev, then he will have to bring a Chaka. But as long as he doesn't know, but he knows that there was a Sofet, whether what he ate was Chelev or Shuman, then he has to bring, not tell me, but he has to bring an Ashem Tali. He has to bring an Ashem Tali.
Right.
So far, then he's Chayav an Ashem Tali. But now, Sofet Chelev and Noida, then he ate another cake.
Tali is always when you have a Sofet.
That's the definition of Ashem Tali, is, yes, that you did something, you may have done something, which is Chayav, which if you had for sure done it, B'Shoigig, you would be Chayav Chatos. So now you did it, it's a Sofek okay. Whether you did it, then you bring an Ashem Tolui. The Ashem Tolui sort of suspends things, sort of like we talked in the first parak. Well, but what it is it's toilet for him, like we learned in the first parak about the Torah and Asa B'Fnim, it's toilet for him that it prevents, it staves off punishment, Min HaShemayim, until he eventually finds out and will bring his Chatos and have his complete Kapara. Okay. So he ate Sofek Chelev, then he found out what he had done. So now he's Chayav an Ashem Tolui. Sofet Chelev Benoida. Then another time he ate Sofet Chelev. And again he found out about it. How many Ashamos is he bringing? Rebbe says, just as if he had done it without the Sofet being involved, he would have to bring a Chatos individually for each one, and that everybody would agree to because there is Yediyah in between, and Yediyah is Mechalik, like this, in other words, if it hadn't been Sofet, if it had been Vada, if he had known that he had eaten Chelev, okay, it was B'Shogig, and afterwards he found out that for sure what he had eaten was Chelev. Then he forgets again, and then he eats another piece of Chelev, B'Shogig. There's no question he brings two Chatois on that. But the Yediyah in between separates it into two different things.
When each case has a Yediyah, you bring each case a Chatois.
Yeah. When you have a Helam, and then Yediyah, and another Helam, and then another knowing what he did. So in this case, Rebbe says, in the same way, when it's a Sofet, kach maybe Oshem Tolui Akolach HaBerachot. Similarly, he would have to bring in the case that we're talking about, where it's two times Sofet Chelev, he would have to bring an Oshem Tolui for each one. Reb Shimon Yehuda, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon, no, any maybe Ela Oshem Tolui Echad, he only brings one Oshem Tolui, Shenema Al Shigagotay Asher Shogag, because the Pasuk says that a person brings an Oshem Tolui for his Shogaga that he was Shogig. Meaning, hold on. The point is, HaTorah ribs the Shogogas Habib Ashem Tolui Echad. By using that expression, Al Shigogose Asher Shogag, the implication is you can have many Shogogas and bring only one Ashem Tolui. Now, obviously, we're not talking about Shigogose, it's singular, but Asher Shogag adds something extra.
Yeah, but it goes on Shigogose.
Yeah, fine, but that's what it means, though. It means that until he has a Yediyah Vaday, until there comes some point when he knows for sure that the first time he ate Chelev, and not that it's a Sofek whether he ate Chelev or Shulman. Right. In other words, remember, there's two different kinds of Yediyah. There's Yediyah that he knows that what he ate is a Sofek on, and there's Yediyah that he knows that what he ate was Chelev. What? Yediyah Sofek and Yediyah Vada, yeah.
Right.
So Reb Shimon Yehuda and Reb Elazar Reb Shimon are saying in the name of Reb Shimon that unless you have a Yediyah Vada in between, you don't bring separate Ashamis Pluim. You only bring one.
That's
fine. Good. Okay. Now, what's the reasoning behind what Rebbe is saying? V'amar Rish Lakish, so Rish Lakish says on this, Kan Shona Rebbe, in this Mishnah, by phrasing the Mishnah this way, and by saying his opinion this way, Rebbe is teaching us the din, Yediyah Sfekas Mischaukas Lachatois, that when you have a Yediyah Sofek, that breaks things up, that it's not considered Helam Echad.
In other words, basically what we were just saying, in other words, like this, he knows in between that the first time he ate Sofek Chelev, so therefore, that Yediyah Sofek is enough to make him now, that's it, that thing is over, now he's Chayav an Ashem Tolui for the first one. And now, if he does it again, he'll be Chayav a separate Ashem Tolui.
Mischaukes
l'chatois, divides it up. As far as Ashem Tolui, of course, that's what Rebbe is saying explicitly. What Rebbe is saying is something else. this is Rish Lakish's explanation of Rebbe. If he finds out later on that the first one he ate was Chalev, then that'll be enough to make him have to bring two Chatos.
Now, in other words, think of it like this. If he had eaten the first Kezias and later on he found out that it was that for sure it was Chalev, then there's no question he'll bring a Chatos for that. And if that happens again, he brings another Chatos.
Right. Over here, all he has in between is Yedias Sopik. All he has in between is, I know that there was a possibility that it was Chalev, but I don't know that it was for sure. So let's say you can have the scenario as follows. He eats the first piece.
Afterwards, he has the Yedias Sopik. Then he eats the second piece. And later on, he has the Yedias Vadai that the first time and the second time really was Chalev. The Shlokish is saying, Rebbe is implying in his thing over here that you will have to do two Chatoris. Not only in the case where after the first one you found out for sure it was Chalev, and then after the second one you found out for sure it was Chalev, but even if in between, after the first one you only found out that it was Sopik
Chalev, which at that point makes you bring an Oshem Tolui, the fact that later on you find that both of them turned out to have been Chalev makes you have to bring two Chatois.
So what Rebbe is saying is that retroactively, the Vadai canceled the Sopik.
In that sense, I guess you could say that. But yes. What he's saying is, in order to divide it into separate chatois, you don't need Yedias Vadai, Yedias Sopik is enough. Yedias Sopik is enough to divide them into two different things. It's what?
Yedias Sopik in between is enough to divide them into two things.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's where Shlokish is understanding. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kishem Shi Yedias Vadai Ba'alma Mischalkis Vachatois, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's not what Rabbi means. Just as, in general, when you have Yedias Vadai in between, then it breaks things up as far as a Chatos, and that everybody agrees to, that if you knew after the first one it was Chalev, and then you knew after the second one it was Chalev, then you have to bring two Chatos, no question about that. Kach Yedias Sopik Mischalkis LaShomim. So also, Rebbe will say that when it comes to an Oshem Tolui, a Yedias Sopik breaks it up as far as Ashomim. Meaning, the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is, so if you had Yedias Sopik on both of them, then everybody agrees Rebbe is saying you bring two Ashomis Tluim. And if you have Yedias Vadai on each one, everybody agrees you bring two Chatois. The question is, if you had a Yedias Sopik after the first one and a Yedias Vadai after the second one, which the Yedias Vadai tells you that the first one also, you know that the first one also was Chalev. So according to Rish Lakish, you will bring two Chatois.
Right.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, you will not. You will bring one. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you will not bring two chatos. You bring one Ashim Tolui for the first one, and then one chatos and a chatos for the second one. Yeah.
So it's not retroactive. It works
basically
only on that.
It only works on that one, right?
Okay.
So
that's
Yedias works as far as breaking them up as far as Ashim Tolui. It doesn't work as far as breaking it up as far as chatos.
So Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rebbe is that when it comes to Oshem Tolu, Yedias Sopik is enough, right? As opposed to Rish Lakish, right? Okay, so what's the relevance of that to our sugya? Bishleim and Rabbi Yochanan. So now we said before. So what are we saying before?
That Rabbi Yochanan was saying
in the Braisa that about the Shnei Shvilim before. Rabbi Yochanan was saying that Sopik Yedia is in this case like Yedia. That again, he had. Let me pause for a second. He had. Okay. Hard to do that and talk at the same time, but all right. It's fine, I'll manage. In the case of Shnei Shvilim, Rabbi Yochanan was saying as follows. It's fine, relax. Alright, thank you. Okay, in the case of the Shnei Shvilim, Rabbi Yochanan was saying as follows. You have a Yedias Sopik whether after the first Shvil you were Tamei. You have a Yedias Sopik whether after the second Shvil you were Tamei. But between the two of them, surely you were Tamei at one point when you went into the Bais Mikdash, even though you were Tahor in between, because either the first or the second time definitely you were Tamei when you went into the Bais Mikdash. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, according to the Chachamim, that will be enough to be Mechayev you a Korban Olah B'Yerded, for Tumas Mikdash for Koncha. Whereas in our case over here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Yedias Sopik is not enough as far as a Chatas. You need Yediyas Vada in between to have separate Chatois. Otherwise, the most you can have is two Hashamas Tzluyas. So, Bishlema de Rabbi Yechana, de Rabbi
Yechana. According to Resh Lakish, if you change...
Never mind Resh Lakish, Rabbi Yechana we're talking about right now.
Right. If you change the order according to either one...
Change what? You wouldn't even change the order.
First you had...
If you had Yediyas Vada, there's no question you have a Chatois at that point. So, the Shlema de Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yechanan like Kasha. So, okay, we can understand there's not necessarily a contradiction between Rabbi Yechanan's two statements, because Kan Osu, Veloy B'chala Torah Kula Osu, because when Rabbi Yechanan said before in connection with the Shnei Shvilin, that Kan Osu Mixus Yediyah Kachol Yediyah, that over here the Chachamim treat, not Mixus Yediyah, Sopik Yediyah, Kan Osu Sopik Kan Osu Sopik Yediyah Yediyah, when we're saying over here that in this case, the Chachamim treat Sopik Yediyah as the equivalent of Vada Yediyah. So we're saying only over here, only in the case of Tumas Mitzvah Shukachev, but not the Chalat Torah Kula. So Rabbi Yechanan will say that the difference is that there's a difference. There's a difference between Tumas Mitzvah Shukachev and any other case of Chachamim. Why? Because when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Shvakachav, the Pasuk never explicitly says that he has to know. How b'chlal do we know that there has to be Yediyah, the Tchila, and Yediyah B'Soif by the Beis Hamikdash, even Nelam Hudakal, by Tumas Mitzvah Shvakachav? How do we know that b'chlal, as we learned in the first parak? We learn it from the fact that the Torah uses the word Venelam, which implies that there was something that he knew and then forgot. So therefore, you can say when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Shvakachav, you don't need as much Yediyah as you usually would. So the Torah itself doesn't explicitly say that you need Yediyah. The loy b'chol, what?
Vanilla means he forgot. That doesn't mean that it would. So therefore, no. By implication, it means that it means that we don't need a full Yediyah.
It's enough to have that. For this case, he had a half a Yediyah, and for that case, he had a half a Yediyah, and the two of them together will combine and make a full Yediyah.
And after the Tumas,
as opposed to elsewhere, v'loy b'chol atar tekula asu, whereas Rabbi Yechanan will say that does not necessarily apply b'chol atar tekula, dichtiv oy hoida elav, because when it comes to the regular case of chatos, the Torah uses the expression that he found out, that he was informed, meaning yediyah malyus aved, meaning he needs a full-fledged yediyah. So it's not enough to know that what he ate was maybe chalav, maybe not.
For the rest.
For a regular chiyuv chatos. So therefore,
Rabbi Yechanan will say that that's the distinction. There is, in fact, a distinction between Tumas Mitzvah Shvakachav and anything else in Torah.
Any other chiyuv chatos in Torah. Tumas Mitzvah Shvakachav, you don't need full yediyah. Anything else you do.
Because
it says Venelam, and the other one it says Oy Hoy Da'elam, and therefore you need full yediyah. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, we don't really have a contradiction. Elul Rish Lokish. So we started by saying, we can, on the face of it, there seems to be a contradiction. But when it comes to Rabbi Yechanan, we can easily answer the contradiction.
Okay.
The problem is Elul Rish Lokish. What are we going to do with Rish Lokish's opinion? Who said, again, by the Shnei Shvilin, he said that nobody would hold that Suffolk Yediyah is like Yediyah. The only way we can make that Braisa work is according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila in the first place. So you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila in the first place. It doesn't matter whether you had Yediyah Vada, Yediyah Suffolk, what have you. Meaning exactly what we just said, that in that case, when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Shvakachav, even though you're not sure whether you became Tomei, whether you were Tomei the first time you went into the Mitzvah Mikdash or the second, you know it was one of them, but you don't know which one, Rish Lakish will say that if the din is you need Yediyah B'Tchila, then that's not considered Yediyah B'Tchila. Only according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila anyway, then according to him, only then you're Chayav B'Karbon. On the other hand, in this last case over here with the Mishnah and Krisus, Rish Lakish is understanding that Rebbe is saying, the halacha, by the way, there is like Rebbe, that Rebbe is saying that Yediyah Suffolk is enough to break it up as far as Chatzos. That you have, in other words, again, you had Yediyah Suffolk after the first time you ate what could have possibly been Chalev, and you have Yediyah Tzvadai after the second one, and sort of like you said, it'll make it retroactive, that now both of them are considered Yediyah Tzvadai. And that'll make that he's chayav two chatois. How does that work? According to Rish Lakish, Elul Rish Lakish. In Shnei Shvilin, Rish Lakish is saying that there's no such thing as Suffolk Yediyah. There's either Yediyah or there's not. Either you know which time you went into this message, you were Tomei, or you don't. If you're going to say, if the Tanakhama of that Braisa of Shnei Shvilin is going to say that you are chayav a chatos, for one of those two times, that can only work according to Rabbi Shmuel, that you don't need Yediyah Betchila at all. If you need Yediyah Betchila, then Yediyah Safek won't do. Whereas over here, he's saying Yediyah Safek will do. That Yediyah Safek breaks it up. That makes that now later on, when you have Yediyah Tzvadei, that both times where you ended up eating was Chelev, you're going to be Chayev two Chatois.
That's the theory.
That's the theory. So
first case is Yediyah Tzvila.
The first case is Yediyah Safek is not a valid Yediyah. The second case is it is. So Elul Rish Lakish, Adam Mukim, Leik Rabbi Shmuel, Leik Makarebi. So why is Rish Lakish going to the trouble with the first Brice of Shnei Shvilin of understanding it like Rabbi Shmuel? Let him better understand it, that it goes like Rebbe in this Brisa, in this Mishnah and Krisis over here, which would be better. The halacha is not like Rebbe Shmuel. The halacha is like Rebbe. So why? What forces Rish Lakish to say that over there the halacha that not the halacha that first Brisa of Shnei Shvilin is like Rebbe Shmuel? The answer is Hakamash Malon. Did Rebbe Shmuel like Bar Yediyah Betchila? Yes, but Rish Lakish wants to inform us of that very fact. We talked before in the first parak that Rabbi Shmuel holds you don't need Yediyah Betchila. Mm-hmm. Rish Lakish wants to inform us of that fact, which otherwise we might not have known.
So then it brings him to
a... No, it doesn't bring him to a stira. It means the first braisa he's saying that a Yediyah Safek is not a Yediyah, what he's saying is in the first braisa, it doesn't matter whether it's a Yediyah or not. That braisa goes according to Rabbi Shmuel that you don't need Yediyah Betchila. As a matter of fact, though, I do hold that Yediyah Safek is a valid idea. Why did I shtelein the first one like Rabbi Shmuel? Because I want to inform you that Rabbi Shmuel does not require Yediyah Betchila. So the question is, Pshita, well, isn't that obvious, the like Bari, that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require the Yediyah Betchila? Because he doesn't have any extra pasuk for it. Because we learned in the first parak that when the pasuk says twice v'nelam, and Rabbi Shmuel, which we said that Rabbi had used those to darshan to darshan Yediyah Betchila and Yediyah Besoif, but instead we said over there that Rabbi Shmuel darshan them differently. V'nelam d'machayev al helam mikdash. He says that one v'nelam teaches us yuchayev not only if what you forgot was that you were tomei, but also if you knew that you were tomei and forgot that what you're entering is this mikdash. So for that reason alone, Rabbi Shmuel can't say that you need Yediyah Betchila because he has no pasuk to tell us that you need it. So what's Rish Lakish's chiddush? The answer is Ma'od Tema, Ki Lesling a Kroy. Yes, but you might have thought, that's fine, Rabbi Shmuel has no pasuk to teach us that. Avam Gemara Islay, but maybe Rabbi Shmuel knows this concept of Yediyah Betchila from Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai. Kamash Malam, that is the chiddush that he doesn't even hold of it at all. Not from a pasuk and not from Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai. And by the way, the Rishonim say, when we said in the first parak, and earlier in our parak, that Rabbi Shmuel does not require Yediyah Betchila, we get it from this little piece over here. That not only he doesn't have a pasuk for it, but he doesn't even hold of the concept at all, not even a Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai.
Because if he did, then
Rish Lakish couldn't make the first braisa work according to Rabbi Shmuel. The fact that he has to force the first braisa to be according to Rabbi Shmuel is because Rabbi Shmuel holds that there's no that you don't need Yediyah Betchila. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether it was Yediyah Safek or Yediyah Tzvadei or what have you. It doesn't matter. You don't need Yediyah Betchila.
In absolute.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Hadron Olach Yediyah Tzatoma. Okay. Now we're going to get to the main topic of our Masechta. These first two prakim were kind of a digression to talk about Tumas Mekdesh Kodesh, because we had in the first parak we had Yediyah Tumas Shtayim Shein Arba. Now we're going to get back to Shavuot, which are going to take up the rest of our Masechta. This next parak Shlishi over here is going to deal with a specific type called Shavuot Bitui, and this parak actually is going to cover again some of the same ground that we covered in Nedarim, because you have Nedarim and you have Shavuot.
The difference between a Neder and a Shavuot is basically
it's a Gavra versus Chetza thing. A Neder refers to the object. You're saying this object is also to me, and we look back in Nedarim, which we're going to talk about in our Gemara over here, that the typical form of Neder is Matpis, that you're saying that this object, which otherwise would be mutter, should be like this other object, which is aser. So the classic way of saying it, for example, is this food is to me like a carbon. Just like a carbon is aser to me, so this food is aser to me. As opposed to a shvua is the person. It's a gavra thing. I am asering myself to do such and such.
A shvua is a person.
A shvua is a person, and a neder is about the object. Yeah. And you have, as we so the Mishnah starts off. Now, so again, the idea, the basic idea is, a person is.
But because I want to have relations with my wife, for instance.
No, we actually said about it. Well, first of all, no. So, okay, one of the many differences between Nedarim and Shavuos is Nedarim are able to be chal. First of all, Nedarim need a tangible object. So, for example, you can't make a neder to say, for example, that a neder or Shavuos, for that matter. So another. Okay, there's a lot of differences between Nedarim and Shavuos. Among them are. A neder can be chal on a dvar mitzvah. You're able to make a neder, for example, to say that matzah should be also to me, and then you're not going to be able to eat matzah on Pesach. As opposed to, you can know that's a neder. A shavua, though, you can't say, I swear I won't eat matzah on Pesach, because as we're going to learn about in this parak, you mushba v'omim ma'har Sinai. You're already sworn from Har Sinai that you have to eat matzah on Pesach, and therefore you have to.
That's a
shavua.
How can you make a neder on matzah?
Because the neder is that matzah is going to be also to me. So fine, that's the matzah is also to you. Therefore, the rest of the year, when there's no particular mitzvah to eat it, and therefore it's also chal on. Therefore, it's also chal on the day when you have a mitzvah to eat it. The mitzvah is not on the matzah to be eaten. The mitzvah is on you to eat the matzah.
Yeah. So how can you make a neder?
Because you're able to. Because you're making the neder, and because you're making the neder, and it's chal on the divrei rishus. And with them, it's chal on the rest of the year. It is. That's what I'm talking about. But you made a neder that's also to you, period. So therefore, it remains also even when it impinges. Yeah, as opposed to a shavua, that wouldn't work. There's a lot of other differences as well as we will see throughout the parak. So let's start.
Okay, so just one more thing I need to mention actually is so you have there's
so we're going to see well our Mishnah is going to start telling us that you have this shavuos lahaba and this shavuos l'sha'avar. The shavuot is about something that you will or won't do in the future, and there's about what you did or didn't do in the past. So first, we're going to be talking about the ones in the future, which are more related to nedarim. Afterwards, so we're going to see as we go through the perek, the shavuot shav and the shavuot sheker. So if you make a shavuot that, for example, I ate this and you didn't really, that's not in any way similar to a neder. But if you really did, if you didn't do what you said you did in the shavuot, then that's a shavuot sheker. So you have you get malchus for that.
To shake basically.
On the other hand, you have la'ba is more similar to a neder. That can also be a shavuos sheker if you violate it. And then you can have a shavuos shav, as we talked about briefly in the first parak. You can have, for example, you swear about something that everybody knows is true. You swear that this is a box of tissues. Or you swear about something which is blatantly false. I swear that this is a bar of gold. Or something like that. Those are all examples of shavuos shav. All of those are the various kinds of shavuos we're going to talk about in our parak. So the Mishnah says, shavuos shtayim shein arba. The types of shavuos are two which are four, as we said at the beginning of the sefer, meaning you have two explicitly stated in the pasuk, and two shavuos bitui, that is, again, a shavuos that I will or won't do something, or I did or didn't do something. Two of them it says explicitly in the pasuk, that the pasuk is lahara or lahasiv, to do bad or to do good, which implies to do bad, I won't eat, or to do good, I will eat. Those are the two that it says explicitly in the passage. Shehein Abba, and we deduce from them another two about the past. So shavua she'oichal v'shaloi oichal. You have the shavua that I will eat or that I won't eat, and then you have the other two that we darshin are she'ochalti v'shaloi ochalti. I swear that I did eat or I swear that I didn't. Later on in the parak, we're going to have a drasha how we know those two. Okay. What happens? The person makes a shavua that I won't eat, and he eats any amount. Chayev, give it to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says that he will be chayev malchus b'mezid or korban or leviyodid b'shogeg because he ate. Amru loy le Rabbi Akiva. So they said to Rabbi Akiva, what do you mean kolshu as opposed to a kazai? Amru loy le Rabbi Akiva. Heichan matzina ba'ichu kolshu shu chayev. Shu zeh chayev. Where do you ever find a case where somebody eats kolshu and it becomes chayev? Normally eating involves at least a kazai. Chometz is a kazai. Okay, there is a concept called chatzi shir. There's a concept that even the Torah tells you you're not allowed to eat a kazayis, a chometz, a chelev, or what have you. If you eat less than a kazayis, it's called chatzi shir. There's a machlokas in the Gemara in Yoma in the last parak whether chatzi shir is also in a Torah or not. Everybody agrees also. The question is only whether it's also in a Torah. Chometz kosher means that if you have any amount of chometz mixed into something, it's also to eat. But that. Not, we're not talking about malchus, though. You're not going to get malchus or chorus or whatever unless you're malchus. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So chayev in Gemara terminology almost always means malchus or a korban or whatever the appropriate punishment is.
Okay. clarification.
Okay, so where do you ever find that somebody calls Shahu and they're chayiv? You need a kazayis at least. No. And where do we find the case where somebody, just because he said something and then violates it, that he should have to bring a korban? Okay, here, he violated his word. He said, I'm not going to eat. That means he didn't just have in mind that I'm not going to eat a kazayis. This is how Rashi explains it. He had in mind, I'm not going to eat, period. So he ate. He was over on what he said.
You know, it's something that you can't do.
You know what?
It's something you could do that. I won't eat. Yeah.
No. We don't mean I won't eat permanently. Of course not. That's called a Shavuot Shav. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes. No, if a person says, I'm not going to eat ever, that would be a Shavuot Shav. That's what we're going to learn later in the Perek. You have a similar thing, for example, a person says that I won't eat for 7 days or I won't sleep for 3 days straight. That's a Shavuot Shav, because it's impossible to do that. No, what we mean is, I won't ever eat this bread, or I won't eat for X amount of time, whatever. And so that's what we're saying, that if he eats any amount, Rabbi Akiva is saying he's chayav, because, so again, Rashi says, because after all, he broke his word. He said he wasn't going to eat, and he ate.
It's not the food, it's the word.
Yeah. Tosfos later on talks about, Tosfos says that later on in the Sugya, somewhat different, that the vote is because of the severity of a shvua, therefore we make it stronger than the average Esau.
Okay, let's talk about the linguistics.
Lememra de sha'oichal de achil mamashma. So what are we saying in the Mishnah? The two shavuos are, for the future, are sha'oichal v'shaloi oichal, that I will eat or that I won't eat. So are you telling me the word oichal means in the future, that I will eat?
Da'achilna,
that I will eat in the future. Or a mini, but I have a contradiction. We have a Mishnah in Nedarim that says as follows. Shvua loy oichaloch. If a person says to somebody else, shvua, that if he uses any of the following three lashonos, shvua loy oichaloch, shvua, I will not eat by you, or of you food, or whatever. Shvua loy oichaloch means a shvua that I will not eat of yours. Or a second case, he says, shvua sha'oichaloch, or he says, a shvua of my eating of yours, meaning anything I eat of yours should be banned by a shvua. Or loy shvua shaloy oichaloch. Or a third expression, he says, not shvua. I should not eat from you. Meaning that what I don't eat of yours will not be banned by a shvua. Implying, and if I do eat from yours, it will be banned by a shvua. So any of those three lashonos also. So we see from that oichal does not mean I will eat. It means eating. So how do we see in our, so why is it in our Mishnah that sha'oichal v'shalo oichal, what makes us say that should mean I will eat or I won't eat? Again, remember, Shavua has to be a Lashon that's answering on himself, not that he's answering the object on him. And by the way, I forgot to mention before, one of the differences is between Nedarim and Shavuos, in connection with you mentioned about Tashmish or whatever, Nedarim have to apply to a tangible object. You can't say, for example, that you can't, for example, make a neder. I won't have tashmish with you, for example. That's an intangible object. You can say I shouldn't say tangible object. That's be an object. So you can say, for example, the hana of tashmish with you is also to me. That would be valid. Whereas with a shavua, you can just say straight out, I'm making a shavua that I won't do now. Again, you can't be nishba levaka with a mitzvah, so it wouldn't work with a husband and wife because there's mitzvah loina. But if he were to say outside of that, I'm making a shavua that I won't have relations with you outside of oina, then that's valid. As opposed to, again, with a neder, that doesn't work because a neder applies to the object, not to the person.
But the mitzvah is it to have a na, or is it to have
peruvu? The mitzvah is, well, there's a mitzvah of peruvu, but there's also shayr of klusav oinasa, lo yigra, that the husband is required not to diminish his wife's oina, not to reduce it without her permission, that is. And therefore, so you have the various oinas that we learned way back in Ksubas, if he's a businessman, if he's if he's retired, if he's this, that, whatever, every day, every week, every month, whatever it is, yeah. Fine. Anyway, so back to our question. The point is that oichal loch, in our Mishnah, oichal means I will eat, whereas in the Mishnah over there in the Nedarim, oichal seems to mean eating. What the object that I eat? So what is it?
Instead of choosing.
And yeah, no, yeah. Well, the actual act of eating, as opposed to over here, where he's saying on himself,
I will eat.
Okay. No, the word oichal does mean that we're talking about the future in both cases. But like kasha, kan be misarvin by lechol, kan be she'en misarvin by lechol. The difference is, are we talking about where they're trying to convince him to eat by them? Masnissin be she'en misarvin. Our Mishnah is talking about there's nobody's trying to convince him to eat over there. Therefore, when he says oichal means. Because he's understanding that's his explanation. That's how he's understanding to reconcile these two cases. Our Mishnah is talking about Ein Misarvin.
Very different context.
Yeah. So our Mishnah is talking about Ein Misarvin. So therefore, Oichal means that I will eat or that I won't eat, as the case may be. But besides which, also we can see it from the fact our Mishnah puts Oichal and Loi Oichal on an equal level. That he has that he's making his free choice whether he's going to eat or whether he's not going to eat, as opposed to over there. As opposed to over there, all three are that he's not going to eat. Loy shvur loy oichalach in the Mishnah in the Dari. Shvur loy oichalach, shvur sha oichalach, loy shvur sha loy oichalach. So it makes sense to say that in that case, it's talking about misarvin b'raisa, but misarvin b'lechol. The b'raisa meaning either it's an actual b'raisa or it means the Mishnah elsewhere, whatever it is talking about we're misarvin b'lechol. The ka'ama loy achilna v'loy achilna. So he's saying I'm not eating. The ki kamishtaba. So therefore, when he's swearing, what he means by this, shavua shaloi oichal. What all the three lashonis that he uses amount to saying a shavua that I won't eat. So therefore, so that's the difference. Oichal can mean eating, or it can mean I will eat. But over here, because nobody's trying to convince him to, then therefore it has to mean I will eat. Because otherwise, why is he making the shavua? Over there, he's saying, just I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to be eating. I don't want to have anything to do with eating over here.
That's the difference.
The difference being that our Mishnah is talking about the future tense, I will eat, and that one is talking about the act of eating. Hey, Ravashi Yama. Ravashi says, I don't like that explanation to have to add this detail of Masarvin or not. Tony, rather you should learn like this. Shavua she'i oichalach. That in the Braisa, in the Dorim, instead of Shavua loy oichalach, learn instead that the word is Shavua she'i oichalach, a Shavua that I will not eat by you. So therefore, the word oichal over there is also future tense. She'i oichalach, that I won't eat by you.
What's the difference between
the difference is between Shavua loy oichalach is a Shavua there is no eating by you, as opposed to it refers to eating rather than I will eat. Ravashi is changing the wording a little bit. Shavua she'i oichalach, a Shavua that I will not eat by you.
Instead of no eating?
Instead of no eating, yeah.
No eating means no eating,
but the word oichal doesn't necessarily mean I will eat. Here in our Mishnah, you need Shavua she'oichal, a Shavua that I will eat, because the pasuk is clearly talking about the future tense, lahorai lahetiv, that he will do good or he will do bad. Okay. So the question is, Yehocha Maila Memra. Okay, but if you're going to say that, if you're going to understand the Mishnah in that way, what's the Chiddush? Of course, if he says, a Shavua, I won't eat by you, then he's also to eat by the guy. The answer is, Ma'u detema lishne de'itkilalei. Yes, but you could understand it to mean, when he says, she'i oichal, maybe he tripped over his tongue, maybe he didn't mean to say she'i. Maybe he meant to say she'oichal. Okay, maybe he meant to say a Shavua that I will eat by you.
Why is it a Shavua for just eat?
Because, okay, the guy is trying to convince him, please come and eat by me. Okay, I swear I'll come and eat by you. So maybe then the E wasn't really meant. Kamash Malon, and that is the Chiddush that nevertheless we take him at his word. Now, Tosfos asks, in that case, we know that a Neder or Shavua requires his Da. Why don't we just ask him what he meant to say? Did he mean to say She'oichal, or did he mean to say Shaloi Oichal? So Tosfos says it could mean, for example, that he said, however it can be understood, I'll accept that that's the meaning of the neder. He had in mind whatever the mashmos is of what he ends up saying, that should be valid. It should be how he leaves it in a way. I guess you could say he kind of leaves it up to chance. He says sort of like, however I end up saying it is how I'll accept that that's how it's going to be.
That's what he had in mind.
So no, he had in mind a generic thing like that. Marshall gives a couple of explanations, one of them being, in other words, that he himself doesn't know what it means when you say Shavuot Sha'ichalach, so he figures, I'll follow whatever people assume that it means. So he meant to say Sha'ichal, that I will eat. He tripped over his tongue and said She'i'ichal. Maybe that should be considered then that in that case we hold it as binding. And that's the point, that's the point that we do, because Lishna did. She, when people say She'i'ichal, that's what it means. It means She'i'ichal. It means that I won't eat. But they also talk about, Tosfos also says you could have a case where he forgot what his das is. Another possibility some of the Mephoshim bring up is maybe he was trying to say She'i'ichal and sort of slurred it out and ended up saying She'i'ichal like that.
Right.
But nevertheless, that's how he said it, and that's how it is.
Well, if he has das, his das.
So his das in this case was, well, in that case, you're right, it wouldn't, because in that case, his das was not to say she'i, but in a normal case where he says she'i, then it would work. Mivta Shavua.
So the halacha is.
It's not a question of halacha. It's a question of understanding the word oichal in our Mishnah. The word oichal in our Mishnah means future tense. I will eat or I won't. Mivta Shavua. If a person uses the expression Mivta such and such, for example, Rashi says, he says, Mivta, this bread is. Is it Mivta, this bread is this bread should be Mivta to me. Mivta is an expression of a Shavua, so it amounts to saying a Shavua that I won't eat this bread. If he uses the expression Mivta. Mivta literally means speech. Like bitui, it's related to the word bitui sfasayim, yeah. Shavua is bitui, which is what we're talking about. So if he uses the expression Mivta, that is considered a Shavua. Isar Shavua. Also, if he uses the word isar, that's also a shavua. So if he says this bread is isar to me, also it means a shavua that I won't eat. Isur isar. What is the isur involved with this isar? Im after oimer isar shavua chayev. We're going to have to understand what the braita means. So the braita is being very cryptic, but first let's learn the actual words, and then we'll understand. Abaya and Rava are going to argue what it means. Okay. So again, mivta means shavua, isar means shavua. What is the isur of the word isar? Im after oimer isar shavua. If you say that isar constitutes a shavua, then he's chayev for breaking it. V'im lav potter. But if not, he'd be potter. Now, to analyze it, what do you mean? Im after oimer isur shavua. What do you mean if you say that an isur constitutes a shavua? Well, I'm an isur shavua. You clearly said, just in the previous line, that isur is a lashon of shavua. So what does it mean? Omer Abaya, hachakama, mivta shavua. What it means is like this. The word mivta means that it's a shavua on the actual object itself. And by the way, even though technically it's true that a shavua is on the person and a neder is on the object, you do sometimes use them interchangeably. We learned in Nedarim, and we're going to learn in our parak as well, that if you say a neder using an expression of shavua or vice versa, it is valid. So to that extent, they're interchangeable. Mivta means an actual shavua on the object itself. He's making a shavua that this actual piece of bread will be offered to me. Isur means mitpis v'shavua. When he says isar, this bread means it's not a direct shavua, it's an indirect shavua.
Right.
It's the equivalent of making a shavua on this first piece of bread, and then saying the second piece of bread should be just like the first one. That's called matpis. So again, with nedarim, that's the standard way of making a nedar, is you matpis. You say, this bread should be to me like a korban. You're being makbis, you're associating the bread with the korban, which is also, and therefore the bread becomes also.
Oh, so something that's also, that when we cover shalom, would be something that...
No. Also over here means that if he breaks the shavua, if it's b'mezid, he's going to be chayef malchus, and if it's b'shogeg, then he's going to be a korban of the beer.
Oh, it doesn't mean to eat a korban.
Well, it means that he's also to eat that bread, because he said it's like a korban. If he goes and eats it, then if he did it b'mezid, he's going to be chayav malchus, and if he did it b'shogeg, he's going to be chayav a carbon or the v'yaret.
So he's saying he's like a carbon.
Yeah, he's making it also to himself like a carbon.
Just like a carbon is
also to people to eat. Okay, which type of carbon? Fine, you can get into specifics, whether an oil or a shlomim or whatnot. In fact, there is a discussion, which is a little bit relevant later on to our Gemara. There's a discussion over there in Nedarim about what happens. You're being makpis with something which now is mutter to eat from a korban, but previously was aser. Do you go according to its original status, or do you go according to its current status? That's going to be negeya a little bit to something later in our
story. So
according to Abaye, mifta itself is a direct shvua. You're saying ashvua that this bread is aser to me. If you say isar this bread, then effectively what you're saying is this bread is also to me, and then this other bread I'm being makpis. I'm putting it on the same level as the original one. And according to Abaye, you're able to do that. You're able to be makpis one thing using another.
Means
it's a direct shvur. It's a direct shvur. So you have a direct shvur and an indirect shvur. And when it continues, Isur, what is the Isur of this word Isur?
So when you say Isur, this, for instance, it means like
what
that.
It means is, implicitly, what it means is that you were already saying that something else is Isur, and now you're saying this should be like that. Yeah.
In everything it should be? In the amount of
well,
time?
In the Isur, on it, yeah. So Isur, what is the Isur of the word Isur? If you say that what he just did was that he was makpis in a shavua, meaning that if you say that makpis b'shavua, that an indirect shavua is the equivalent of a direct shavua, if you say that it is the equivalent of one, if you say mitpis b'shavua kimoti shavua mepiv dami, if you say it's the equivalent of him directly saying a shavua, then chayev, then he would be chayev if he were to now eat the second piece of bread. Then he would be chayav.
Right.
The imlav, but if we argue that makpis b'shvua is not like if you argue that makpis b'shvua is not really a shvua, then it means that isur that by saying isur is the same thing. If you said mivta was saying that's a direct shvua, you're actually saying this thing is osur. No question, you eat it, you're going to be chayav mal.
Right.
But if you say isur this, then we're saying it depends. We need to know whether saying Isar is the equivalent of saying I'm being makpis this by that. Does that work or not? If it works, then yes, you chayav for the second one. If not, then you're not chayav for the second one.
So it can have two meanings.
So it can have two. It depends.
Isar
has
one.
Okay, Tosfos has a number of, that's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos has a number of questions on this, one of them being that it's not usual for a Braisa to do like that, like to say, well, what's the din? Is it Chayev or Potter? The Braisa needs to be telling us the bottom line, either that Matnis Meshvur is Chayev or it's not Chayev. So Tosfos gives a couple of different explanations. If you say that if he actually was, when he used the word Isar, he actually associated it with the first kicker, if he actually said Isar, this bread like that one, for example, where he had previously made a shavua on the first bread, then he's chayav. If not, if there hadn't been a previous one, he just said Isar kicker there alive,
right.
That doesn't work. That doesn't work because there's nothing to me. You're not being makpis, it's anything.
How much in time it has to be?
Yeah, man, it's not a matter of time. If he says, it doesn't matter. No, it could be a week later. If he said originally this bread is also to me. Later on he said Isar this bread like that one. Then yes. But if there had never been any first one and he takes off this piece of bread and says Isar this bread, then nothing. It doesn't work. That's Tosfos's first explanation. And then they give a couple of others. Another one is whether he uses the word achila. Rashi has said the Braisa itself isn't sure whether Isar it constitutes makpis b'shvur or not. It constitutes makpis b'shvur, but is makpis b'shvur a valid thing or not? Are you able to associate one thing or another when it comes to shvur? We know you can when it comes to nedarim, but again, nedarim are on the object. Shvur are on the person, so not necessarily. Okay. Fine.
What difference would it make?
I mean, what difference does it make? Is he chayev or not?
No, but what difference did it affect on the person rather than on the object?
Oh, because if it's on the person, then how are you being makpis? So you're saying this one is also like this one, but this one is not also, this one itself is not also. You are also to eat it. You can't say this one is like this one. You could say, I'm offering myself to eat this one. If you're saying that, then fine. But is that actually what you're saying? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe not. So again, according to Rashi, that's the Braisa itself is leaving it up in the air. According to Tosfos, not. Okay. Fine. Omi mai de mivta shvua. So how do we know that the word mivta means a shvua? dichtiv, on the face of it, it's because the pasuk says o nefesh kisi shavu levate b'shpatayim, because you have the pasuk saying that a person swears levate with his lips. Well, if you're going to say it that way, iser nami, then iser also should be considered a valid form of shavua. Dichtiv kol neder v'chol shavua iser, because we have a pasuk in Parashat Matos that says that any neder or any shavua of iser. So we see that iser. So iser should be like a synonym of, there should be a synonym of mivta, which in turn is a synonym of shvur. They should all be equal synonyms. Never mind machbis. Never mind any of that. They should all be direct lashonis of shvur. Ella, no. Mimai the iser mitvus v'shvur. No. Rather, let's argue like this. How do we know the word iser is being machbis? It's not a direct shvur, but an indirect one, associating this one with that one. We know that. We know because, again, another pasuk in Matos refers to a woman who makes an isar on herself with a shavua, implying that there's already something that was banned by a shavua, and now she made another isar associated with that one. Isar al nafshal b'shavua, meaning that there was already a shavua, and she made another isar associated with it. Well, then, if you're going to argue like that, mifta nami, that mifta should also mean matris. Because you have a pasuk that says anything that a person might utter yivate meloshen mivta with a shvua. Again, you could understand the same thing, that there was an original shvua, and now there's a mivta that's associated with it.
Anything.
So how? What makes you say that mivta davka means a direct shvua and isar means an indirect shvua? Elo, Amar Abaya, no. Rather, Abaya says the answer is like this: mivta shvua mehachad. Where we get that mivta means a direct shvua is as follows. Pasuk says, "Vim hoyesil ishul dareha." If a woman gets married to a man while she still has nedarim that she had from previously, oy mivta sfaseha asher osra al-nafsha, or she has mivta sfaseha, something that she had uttered with her lips which she had made osra on herself. So what do we say over there? That she's an arusa, so now her husband and her father together have to be made for her nedarim if they want to, as we learned in nedarim about that. After her husband is mekadesh her, then if at that point she has nedarim during any of the period of the erusin, her husband and her father have to jointly be made for them.
What can you do for her husband alone?
Because she's not yet fully married to him. She's there's only kedusha, not nisuin.
But she's mekadesh.
She's mekadesh. So therefore,
her father come in once she.
That mekadesh is still partly under her father's reshus. We learned about that.
It's
more than engaged, but yeah. She's still living under her father's roof at that point. We learned back. We've learned a number of times about the concept of mother. We've learned in connection with Moshe Shemran and other connections that usually she only comes to her husband's house. Usually she only leaves her father's house and the Shluchei Ahav and whatever when at the time of the Nisuin. Not at the time of the Kedushin. During the another case, Kedushin usually lasted a year because it was enough time for her to put together what she needed for her wedding. During that time. Yeah, so that's enough. But yeah, the Torah gives the two of them together. Okay, the point is, the Ilu Shavua Lakama. In that pasuk, it doesn't use the word Shavua at all. Therefore, B'mai Osra Asma B'mivta. So we have to say to her, what is the pasuk therefore implying? That she was asking herself just using the word Mivta. That is enough to ask her something. So that you didn't need a prior shavua for her to associate with. Therefore, you see that mivta refers to a direct shavua. As opposed to isar, again, since we have the pasuk by osra isar, not shavu shavua, then it meant, and the Torah never uses the word isar by itself, then it means that it always uses it in connection with shavua, then therefore that implies that it has to be associated with a shavua. Okay, all of that was a Abaye's explanation of the braisa. Rava Omar, Rava learns differently. No, you cannot be machbis with a shvua the way you're machbis with a neder. Being machbis, saying that I made a shvua that I'm also to eat this bread, and then I'm going to say this other bread is like the first one, doesn't work. Again, because it's a gavra versus chesed thing. You are also to eat the first bread. It's not the first bread, it's also to you. So therefore, saying the second bread is like the first bread is meaningless. So machbis b'shvua doesn't count as saying a shvua. There is, by the way, actually, there is machloikis rishonim. Does this mean that Rava would say it doesn't count as a shvua at all and you're not even chayev if you were to eat the second piece of bread? Or does he just mean you're chayev, but it's also to do, but you wouldn't be chayev malchus or a carbon. Anyway.
And again, his reason is?
His reason is, again, because of the difference between a neder and a shvua. Neder is on the object. A shvua is on the person. So on the object, it makes sense. This object is usur. This other object is like the first object.
For
nedarim, it would work. For shvua, it doesn't work, because the shvua refers to you. So you can't say that this is like that. You would have to say, this thing is also to me just as that one is, or something. Or I'm astering myself to eat this, just as I'm astering myself to eat that, or whatever. So matzis b'shvua, Rava says, is not kimoti shvua m'pivda. No, rather v'hochi kama. So therefore, we have to understand the Brai says as follows. Mivta shvua. The word mivta means a direct shvua. Isar nami shvua. The word isar is also a direct shvua. So not like Abaya says, where if a person says isar, this bread, it means he's trying to be matzis. He's trying to associate it with the previous bread that he said was asur. No, isar, this bread, means that this bread directly is asur to him now. So then when the Braisa continues, esore de isar, so what is the isar, what is the isur involved with the word isar? Where do we see that the word isar should mean, where do we see that the word isar should mean a shvua? Because the pasuk places it between the word neder and the word shvua. Namely, the pasuk says, "Kol neder v'chol shvua isar la'anes nafesh." So the word isar is associated with the word neder and with the word shvua. It's placed together with both of them, implying therefore hitziya b'loshen neder neder. The point of it therefore being, if you were to use it under the expression of a neder. If you were to say, for example, that this should be also to me like if you were to say this bread should be to me like a korban, that's a full-fledged neder. If you were to say this bread is isar to me, that would also be a form of neder. So therefore, now if he's over on his neder, there's no korban. You know, there's no korban over the yodah for being over on a neder. There's only a korban over the yodah for being over on a shavua. So if he said it at in the form of a neder. This bread is isar to me, then that would be a neder. As opposed to beloshen shvua, shvua. If he said isar that I won't eat this bread, that's beloshen shvua, because it refers to the person. So then it would be considered a shvua. And now, if you were to break that shvua, the shvua, then he'd be bringing a korban.
According to Rava, he formally has to declare that he himself is doing.
So according to Rava, it means that in order for isar works. Isar is a valid form, not like a buyer that isar means you have to have something else previously also. But it all depends how you phrase the word isar. Did you associate the word isar with the object or with yourself? With the object, it becomes a neder. With yourself, it becomes a shvua.
Whereas Abaye says that
isar is a loshen of shvua, but it's specifically it's makis b'shvua. It's not a direct shvua, but rather an indirect shvua. This should be also like that. Abaye says that works. Rava says it does. Okay. Heichan hitzilo. Where do we see that the Torah associates the word isar with both neder and shavua? You have a pasuk v'im beis ishav nadara, that if a woman made a neder while she's in her husband's house, meaning after nisurin, after the full-fledged marriage has taken place, or osra isar al nafsha b'shavua v'goyma, or she made an isar on herself with a shavua. Abaye used those words to say that means that an isar means a sub shvua, that you have an original shvua and then you're associating something else with that. Rava is saying, we learn from that pasuk, the fact that it mentions both neder and shvua, we learn from that it all depends how you phrase the isar. Did you phrase it as referring to the object or to yourself? Okay, the Gemara continues. Both Abaye and Rava.
Oh, go. Don't refer it to either. You have
neither. What does it mean? What are you saying? Then you're either saying isar this bread, or you're saying isar I won't eat this bread. If you just say isar, then of course that doesn't count for anything. Isar can also be a type of coin, you know. Okay. For Ozdu now both Abaye and Rava, in their respective explanations of this braisa, are going according to their respective shittas. Dechma, because in fact we have a discussion on this very point. Matzis b'shvua, if a person is matzis using a shvua, again, where he said a shvua that I won't eat this bread, this loaf of bread, and later on he says this loaf should be like that one, Abaye says that works. Abaye amal kamoita shvua m'piv domi. Abaye says that's the equivalent of saying a shvua on the second one. Therefore, if he ends up eating the second one, he believes in Machbis when it comes to Shavuot, and therefore, and Rava says that not. But Rava Amalab promotes Shavuot and Kibdami. Rava says that not. It's not anything. You know, again, you have the Machlokas Rishonim. Is it that it's not anything, or is it that at least there's is it that it's not anything, and therefore you could even go and eat the second one? Or is it you're taka not allowed to eat the second one, but if you do, you're not going to be chayav malchus or carbon? So they have that those respective shittas, and therefore they explain the previous brayta accordingly. Okay, the Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction against Rava. A brayta says, Ezehu iser ha'omer b'torah. What is the case of iser that the Torah is talking about? If somebody says, I'm making a neder, a shavua actually, because you were going to say, shaloi oichal, that I won't eat. That's a shavua. So he says, I am obligating myself, shaloi oichal basa, that I won't eat meat, which is a shavua, v'shaloi eshte yayin, or that I won't drink wine. And he associates it, kiyoyim shemes v'aviv, like the day that my father died, meaning just as I offered myself to eat meat on my father's yard site. So I'm associating this other day with that. Or kiyoyim shemes v'poini. Or kiyoyim shemes v'poini. Or similar to the day when Ploini died, which I was sad on that day. Or kiyoyim shenereg v'gedalya ben achikam. Or on the day when Gedalya ben achikam was killed, Gimel Tishrei.
So that wouldn't work on day to Rava.
That's what we have to figure out. Or kiyoyim shiro Yerushalayim b'chobana. Or like the day that I first saw Yerushalayim destroyed. All of those osir. So now the new day is osir, the new day that he's just talking about. The Amar Shmuel, v'hu shenodru uba me'oitziayim. Shmuel says in the sugya over there in the Darim that it has to be that he had previously already made a neder that he's not going to eat on the day that his father's yahrzeit or whatever. The Gemara actually discusses over there that it may even mean in connection with the discussion over there again about whether I mentioned before about the shlomim, whether you go according to its original status or its current status. It would have to be, let's say, for example, if he's going to say, for example, that I'm making the following day also like the Sunday when my father passed away, it would have to be that every Sunday since then he's been fasting. Otherwise, which one are we going by? Are we going by the Sunday when his father died, or are we going by another Sunday when Anyway, the point is that he's being makbis using a shavua. That's exactly the question. According to Abaya, we can understand it easily. Mid makbis b'neder neder, just as being makbis by neder, just as saying this bread is like a korban, it's koinam, and this other bread is like the first one. Since that works, and that's a neder, makbis b'shavua, shavua. So the same thing works by a shavua as well. You can be makbis by a shavua as well. But according to Rava, what is Rava going to do with that? How are you mark this with a Shavua? By the way, Tosfos points out the Gemara could have the Braisa could easily have said that we're referring to a neder instead. That he's saying a neder that meat should be also to me on this day, like it was also on the day that Gedalia was killed or whatever. The reason we don't do that is because people usually phrase such things people usually phrase such things as a neder rather than as a shvur.
But that would not remove the contradiction for us.
No, obviously not. That's just a side. So Rava says, okay, you have to explain the Braita as follows. The Braita is not talking about the Braita is not talking about Machbis at all. The Braita Tritz means explain it, like a terrorist. Explain it as follows. The Braita is not talking about the concept of Machbis at all. The Braita wants to tell you how a neder should be phrased. The Emahochi, say it like this. Ezehu iser neder ha'om v'torah. What is an example of the iser of neder that is stated in the Torah? Now, we look back in the Nedarim, we learned that, and we mentioned it briefly before, that for a neder is, the very concept of neder is sort of, even a basic neder is sort of the idea of makbis. You're taking this object and you're saying it's like a korban, or like something else, which is also to eat. So in that sense, every neder involves some kind of makbis. All the Braita is telling you, I'll give you some examples of makbis. How a neder works in the first place. You're saying that I won't eat meat or I won't drink wine like the day when his father died, or like the day that Ploini was killed, or that Gedalia ben Achikam was killed, or whatever. So that is, you're being makpis You're associating this day, which previously was mutter, with the day that your father died, which previously you had, subject to a neder, which, yeah, so sort of like makpis, right.
The word makpis comes from which?
It comes from the word tofis, which means grabbing a hold of. Like you're making the second thing grab a hold onto the first one, yeah. The Omer Shmuel, who should neder, and that is what Shmuel says, that it has to be that we're talking about that he had previously made a neder that he's going to fast on his father's yard, right? Because then that way, that's how a neder works. You're associating something which is mutter with something that previously was usur. And my time. Now, why does it have to be that it was dafka a day that he made a neder on previously? Because why does it have to be something? Yes. Because omakra ish ki yider neder l'Hashem, because the positive is the person makes a neder to Hashem, meaning the double expression ki yider neder means ad she yoder b'davar hanoder. In order for this to work, a neder has to be that you're associating the thing that is mutter with something that you're able to after with a neder. So, for example, we learned in nedarim. Let's say, for example, if you were to say this bread should be to me like chazir flesh, that wouldn't work. Chazir flesh is not something that you can after to yourself with a neder. It's also min atorah. That's not a dover hanoder. Therefore, such a neder doesn't work. So the point of this braisa is just to tell you that. Since Shmuel is establishing that we're talking about Yom Shemesh Be'aviv, is you previously already made a neder that made it osur. So that is a dover hanoder. You're able to after yourself to not eat on a certain day, which previously had been mutter. That is a dover hanoder. Therefore, you were able to associate another day with that day similarly.
Saying that you cannot make a neder on something
asur. Now you can't make a neder on something. You can't make a neder. Well, I mean that's true. That may be true, but that's irrelevant. What we mean is you can't make a neder using something. You can't
yeah.
Say the thing that is mutter should be like something which is asur min atur.
Right. So that's one thing. But you can make a neder prohibiting you to use something that's obligated to use in the Torah. There seems to be a contradiction.
Here. I'm not seeing the contradiction. Again, you're making a neder that matzah is also to you. It's also to you the rest of the year. Comes Pesach, it's still also to you.
Yeah.
It's still an object which is also to you. You have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Fine, eat other matzah. You made a neder that you're not going to eat this matzah, for example.
Exactly.
If you made a neder that you can eat, then you're not going to eat any matzah. Okay,
but
then you have a problem.
It's not parallel.
It is. Okay. You know what? It's a side thing. Let's talk about it soon. Okay. But again. The davar hanodur means it has to be, the original object has to be something that the only way it becomes osur is by you declaring it osur. It can't be something which lahatchila was osur, that you can't use that as a basis for a neder. You can't say, this bread should be like chazim.
That I understand.
That you understand.
The reverse doesn't work. Because something...
Once you say matzah should be to me like a korban, then it means matzah is off limits to you. It comes a time when you're supposed to be eating matzah. Okay, but you have an iser sitting on top of it that says, but you're not allowed to eat that matzah because you're going to be over on a loisa.
So that's the question. One time the Torah has an iser, it works. And the other time, the Torah has an obligation.
I'll explain it to you afterwards. They're two different issues. One has nothing to do with the other. One has nothing to do with the other. Okay. So the Gemara asks, well, in that case, then, of course he can be machbis using his father's yard site. His father's yard site is not something that would have been also for him to eat if it hadn't been for his own neder. Of course that's davar hanoder. The answer is, true, we didn't really have to mention his father's yard site. We're only using that as an introduction to, for example, if he says, I'm making this other day to be like Tzum Gedalia. That is a chiddush. Sakurai dechamina, because you would think to say, given the kiloi nader nami osir, given that Tzum Gedalia is also to him, even if he hadn't made a neder, because Tzum Gedalia is a known fact there, yeah. Ki nader nami lai habya lai isir, so therefore you would think if he makes such a neder, it shouldn't be also to him, but I love mitzvahs b'neder, who it can't be considered that he's machbis b'neder. Kamash malon, that is a chiddush that it does work.
If you make a neder using
Tzum Gedalia, because even though the day itself happens to be a day that is osur, a day is something that you're capable of asuring for yourself. That particular day, Gimel Tishrei, you can't because it's already osur from before. But any day in the year, you're able to. Therefore, a day in general is considered davar hanoder. Now Rashi mentions a girsa over here, but rejects it. That, however, Tosfos uses this girsa, that what the Gemara is pointing out is the difference is that Tzum Gedalia is only also midrabbanan. If you were to say, for example, this day should be like Yom Kippur, then that wouldn't work because Yom Kippur is also Daraisa, so it's not a Davar HaNadur. But since Tzum Gedalia is only also Darabanan, therefore it could work. So Rashi doesn't like that Girsa. Rashi is saying that's not the key point. The key point is a day is something that you're able to be Noder on.
What is he doing? What is the Neder exactly?
The Neder is he's saying that today, Dalet Tevis should be for me like Tzum Gedalia. So the point is, Tzum Gedalia itself is already a fast day. It's not a Davar HaNadur. However, it's a day. It's one of the 365 days in the year. You would be able to ask there some other day at random. You'd be able to say at random that, for example, that this day should be also to me to eat, and then you're able to be machpis with it. So therefore, even if that day happens to be Tzum Gedalia, there's no difference. Tosfos, who learns that the difference is Daraisa or Darabanan, they would say that if you were to try to be machlis with Yom Kippur, it wouldn't work. For example, then it wouldn't work. You can't make the shvua on Yom Kippur itself because that would be a shvua can't be chal on top of another shvua. That's another difference between nedarim and shvuas, by the way, that we're going to learn later on in the parak. A shvua cannot be chal on another shvua, but a neder can be chal on another neder. The point is, to be machpis using Yom Kippur wouldn't work, because Yom Kippur is intrinsically awesome in HaTorah, but Tzum Gedalia is only awesome in HaBanan, and therefore that works. That is the point of the Braisa, and once it's mentioned in Gedalia ben Achikam, then it also mentions the person's father's yahrzeit to complete things. So therefore, so Rava can understand that Braisa that way, that the Braisa is not telling us that you're able to be machpis for Shavua. He holds you can't, in fact. You can only be machpis for Neder.
He would understand it.
He would understand that we're not talking, the Braisa is just trying to tell you the basic facts, how you go about making a Neder involving that you're going to say that a certain day is also to you. You do it by being machpis it using another day, which is already also to you from a previous Neder or whatever.
And then that's not according to Rava.
That's according to Rava. That's Machpis Neder. Machpis Neder, for sure you can do. Tosfos points out, you have Mishnayos in a number of... This is not a Shavuot, this is a Neder. This is a Neder. This day could be also to me.
So Rava is saying actually...
So Machpis Neder works. Yeah. Just like it works. The same way as a person says, for example, Harini Nazir, and somebody else says, Vani, I'll be a Nazir too. That works. That's Machpis Neder. And that works. Everybody agrees it works. It's Mishnah, yeah.
Right.
So therefore, by the same way over here, Tosfos is answering essentially that what Rava is saying is that this Braita is not trying to define the word Isar in the Torah. The word Isar in the Torah, Rava had said, can be either a Neder or a Shavua, depending. The Braita wants to define for us, how do you go about making a Neder involving a day? And the answer is you machpis it using another day.
And that
works, according to me, machpis by Neder for sure works. Yeah.